Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Today's episode is brought to you by Hyundai and the 2022 Tucson and Santa Fe plug-in hybrid EVs. Learn more about the widest range of electrified vehicles at HyundaiUSA.com. That's HyundaiUSA.com. Heavyweight UFC fighter Brendan Schaub, stand-up comedian Brendan Schaub is going to join us as well. And also we'll be doing the news right after this.
Available now for pre-order, Adam's sixth book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. Advice, answers, but no apologies.
It's insane. I blame everybody but me.
Adam drops knowledge, rants, and laughs, answering actual questions from you, the listener, and some celebrity friends. Follow the link at adamcarolla.com to purchase on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or through IndieBound to find your local independent bookseller. Everything Reminds Me of Something, coming this summer, wherever finer books are sold.
I'm the only person in my house who doesn't speak Spanish. I feel like a refugee in my own goddamn house. My white friends learned a Latino before. I go, dude, just fucking learn Spanish. Put a little effort in. Learn Spanish. How hard can it be? I'm all, bitch, I am 38. I struggle with English at times. You know what it feels like to my five-year-old son roll up on his bike and talk shit to me in Spanish? You know what that feels like? As a father, you know what that feels like? I don't have a clue what he's talking about. I don't have a clue. I thought puto meant dude for the longest time. I dropped him out of school last week. I was all, later, puto!
Brendan Schaub on the Adam Carolla Show.
The stand-up special is called The Gringo Poppy, and it's streaming now on YouTube. And I guess that's the new world order, right? Just go out, do it for yourself, and put it up on YouTube. I've talked to tons of comedians that are going down that route.
Yeah, it's kind of the new wave, I guess, because if you think about a comedy special, it's different than like the 90s when there was like five guys got specials on HBO and Showtime. Now, you know, I've done the big route where you go, my first special was on Showtime. This one, it's like, what is the point of a special? It's like to get the most eyeballs possible. So it's either like if you're a big boy like Joe Rogan or Kevin Hart or Chappelle, you get that huge payday, and then, you know, I'm sure good amount of people watch it, or you just bank on yourself, you know, and try to get as many people as possible to watch it. So that was the plan.
But did you shoot that at the Ice House?
No, I shot that in Dallas, Texas at the Addison Improv. But I asked them, I said, I shot a huge, my first special at Spreckles Theater in San Diego. Mm-hmm. It was this huge theater and this big ordeal. And you know, you've done theaters where it's just a different vibe. I want that freaking intense connection, like vibe with a club. So
it's also hard to hear the laughing.
The pacing's different. Yeah. And for TV, I don't think it correlates as good. Yeah. I think a club is great. So I asked Addison Improv, I said, hey, I'm going to shoot my special there, but I don't want it to say Addison Improv on the back. Let my team come in and build a set. And they're like, yeah, whatever you want to do, man. So
yeah, it looked, I played Addison Improv, I played Spreckles, and played Ice House. And I thought the Ice House was down and out. But I don't know if the Ice House is back.
They're coming back.
Everyone keeps saying that, but it's been 2 years. Where are they?
3 years of they're coming back. But right. They are coming back. Yeah, I talked to one of the managers the other day. They're coming back. They're hiring a staff. And they've redone the entire place. You know, the Bus family owns it now.
Oh, shit.
And they've put all the money in it. So if I was a betting man, which I am, I would put all my money on that club is going to take over L.A., man.
Oh, good, because
it's his home theater or home club.
Right? I live in La Cañada. There is one goddamn theater that's within 9 minutes of my house, and that's the Ice House, and then the rest is the store and the improv, and everything's a huge long schlep in the middle of the night. But that was the one club, and it's been there for 50 years, and all of a sudden, as soon as I started doing stand-up, they just shut it down. But I'm glad it's coming back, so we'll look forward to that.
If Winning Time has taught us anything, that club's going to be fucking amazing.
The buses lose.
Yeah.
The buses do not lose.
I'm so obsessed with that series.
It's awesome. I think it's done now. Did you watch the last episode?
I did.
It was great. Yes.
Well, I'm not caught
up. Did they win?
Don't spoil it. Yeah, don't spoil it. Did they win? Yeah. Is Jerry West really an asshole?
It's really, it's interesting to see what people do and all the rules that are broken. Like, there's a lot of, you know, breaking down the fourth wall and like talking to the camera. They'll do these things where they'll put these little weird glitch spots up on the screen that they're neither here nor there, but sort of satisfying. I don't know what it is. It looks like archival footage.
Right. And anyone who saw The Big Short, because, you know, Adam McKay did that, you'll get the vibe of Winning
Time.
That's
his
energy. Highly stylistic.
But also, that one's interesting because they didn't get the rights to the Lakers and the Buss family and Jerry West, so they're getting sued up the gazoo.
Jerry West is not a fan.
How could you
of
be?
The series,
he comes off as a total prick. He's one of my favorite characters.
I was going to say, why do I love him so much? I love him in
that. But imagine if you were actually a good guy and that doesn't represent you in any facet. Yeah. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
What is this?
Well, we've talked about Max Baer Sr., the heavyweight. Yeah. You're a heavyweight fighter. He, as he came across in Cinderella Man, they tore the shit out of him. And it was a very interesting story because he did kill a man in the ring, and he was distraught over it. He was very distraught over it.
Him,
and in the movie, they made it seem like he liked it and was now threatening Cinderella Man to kill him in the ring.
Well, it goes both ways, right? Because there's Rudy, right? The story of Rudy, which was offsides, if you ask me. But there's Rudy who got the
100%
sack.
100%. Finally, someone said it.
Yes, dude. I'm serious.
Was it a neutral zone infraction or 100%?
Man,
he just jumped.
Yeah,
no, his hand was
his hand was pat. Yeah. That should not have counted.
It's a very flowery depiction of a not so flowery guy.
Yeah, so I think they made Rudy look great, and then you look at Vince Papale. You know, with the Invincible? Which
Eagles.
Was a Disney movie. Yeah,
right.
Anybody I know who knows Papale, you know, I'm in Philly next week. Philly, don't kill me. But anybody that knows Vince Papale, kind of an asshole. That's what they say. But in that movie, he looks, he's the, with the knight in shining armor. So it goes both ways, man.
You played football at Colorado, University of Colorado, right?
Yes, sir.
What position did you play?
I was a fullback, like H-back.
Yeah. Well, you're big for an H-back.
I was big. Well, it happened like this because my best friend and college roommate was the starting tight end. He was first team all Big 12. He was drafting the first pick in the second round, like stud. They went, cool. So we got tight end covered. You play tight end. If you want to play, you're going to have to play fullback. I was like, fullback? Who uses fullbacks? They're like, we do, and you're going to be the tallest fullback of all time. Enjoy this CT.
Right.
So I was fullback, and then I was also the wedge buster, wedge breaker on kickoff return.
Oh, boy.
I was the captain special team. So we didn't know at the time that movie Concussion didn't come out. Shout out to Will Smith. The movie Concussion didn't come out. So back then it was like, oh, you got your bell rung. And I remember, like in practice, there was a play called, I'll never forget, it's called 98 Power. And it's when, as the fullback, I have to go light up the linebacker.
The middle backer.
Yeah, and
the
outside backer.
I'd go outside. They probably didn't have
and kick him out.
Yeah.
They would kick him out. But he knew it was coming. I remember like the whole team would like gather around and watch this collision. We'd watch it the next day in practice. I remember thinking like, good God, man. How was someone like, hey, man, you know, every time you do that, you're getting concussion? And they like loved when my bell got rung. And now I'm thinking, I'm like, wow, this was not good.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. And I guess in a way, all the concussions and all the head trauma, it's kind of like smoking and that some people smoke and it never catches up to them.
Correct.
But most people, it does. There are people that I've had tons of that collision stuff myself. I didn't play at a high level like you, but I started when I was 7, and it was full blown.
Same.
You know, just lead with your head, just everybody all the time.
Thanks, Dad.
And you try to think about it and you go, is this affecting me? Would I be thinking differently? Some people seem to skate right through it. Other people are devastated.
To your point,
it.
Most people skate by. I think there's this weird kind of urban myth where you get concussions and, you know, CT is such a big deal. Think about all the millions of kids that have played football throughout the years. Is it really that big of a deal? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm someone who comes from football and fighting where it should be the biggest deal. But if you think about the mass amount, millions and millions of kids that play football, is it really that big of a deal? There's some. There's horrible outliers like Junior Seau and all that stuff. But in general, you know, pretty safe.
Like Webster, who was featured in the movie Concussion.
Yeah, there you go. There's some awful examples, but
Steelers,
I think those are the extremes.
Lineman Mike Webster. Yeah.
I thought he was a center.
Well, lineman.
Oh, lineman. Yeah.
Offensive lineman.
I thought you were talking about Emmanuel Lewis.
Yeah.
What was the thing you guys...
When you said Webster, I was like, Webster?
I was
concussion?
You know,
so small.
They drop the kick him?
I thought I said linebacker.
People were pushing him down.
That's all right. The Steelers, yeah, I used to play inside linebacker, and there was that move where the fullback would come at you.
An ISO.
You had to step up and take on the fullback, but the fullback had 6-7 yards of head of steam,
right.
And you just had to fill the gap.
Like
you have to just stand in there. And then the running back would just cut right off of the fullback. So the fullback's going to kick the guy out, and then the running back, it was not a winning proposition.
Are the fullbacks and the linebackers the two biggest dudes generally?
No. They're usually the meatiest. Usually they're like
stocky.
They're muscular and stocky. They're like fire hydrants.
Got it.
Because they want to take that impact.
Got it.
But the NFL doesn't, college really doesn't either use the fullback anymore. The game's changed now. It's a lot more passing. A lot safer now.
It's just sort of faster.
Yes.
And a lot more finesse.
Not as tough, some would say.
Yeah, well, it's like.
That's the meathead of me talking.
People aren't wearing.
I also have CT.
They don't wear thigh pads or hip pads anymore.
Some don't wear mouthpieces.
Right. If they do, they're just swinging around
the
cage.
No, they don't. There's a lot of quarterbacks you see there and receivers. There's no mouthpiece. It's not a rule anymore.
Oh, it's not a rule.
You remember they used to check, like, cut mouthpiece? Now it's like, well.
You started playing in Pop Warner?
Yeah, I started playing tackle when I was 6 years old.
Where at?
In Aurora, Colorado. Centaur. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Aurora Centaurs.
And did you'd have to do the whole check-in, make weight, because you reminded me with the cup. You know, you'd line it up before the game, and you'd weigh in. Because if you're a peewee or a bantam or a midget or a junior or a gremlin, they had a max weight. Mm-hmm. And if you couldn't, I don't know, you're a big boy. No,
the thing is, I was always small. I was always undersized, but really athletic, but I was undersized. I didn't get big till like sophomore year of college.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So
it was the tap water in Colorado, I think.
You made the weight. But they would line everybody up, and the officials would walk up and down, and you'd have to, you know, hit your thigh pads, knee pads. And the cup would be this weird knock.
No, for reals. But
you'd have to knock your cup.
What's weird is when you think about it, they'd never do it now in this woke society. They'd never do it now because it's fat shaming at its finest.
Yeah.
Because if you're overweight, you would get a huge star on your jersey for being too fat for that.
Six-pointer, Gina. 6-point star.
Right. I was going to ask.
Stripe
what color
uniform.
Is it? Yeah, I don't like
off
it.
Off to fat camp. Don't mind the pizza oven.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. It's got dark.
It got dark. No. What we didn't get the star, you had to take your jersey off and turn it inside out.
Jesus Christ.
And pull it back over your fat ass. Yeah. So,
what did that do? What did you couldn't play?
Ineligible.
Certain- Oh, literally couldn't play.
Or it would just let everybody know that you're overweight. Like, it was the ultimate fat shaming.
It was real simple. They had the scale, was the kind, you know, at the doctor's office.
Right, the slidey scale.
Yes.
They would push it outside. They didn't weigh everyone. They just went, the maximum weight for gremlins is 118. They just set it for 118. You just, you know, the little guys would just step on it
and
step off.
Tips
but anybody, I don't think I've ever told this story, but the year I broke and dislocated my shoulder, I was actually a big kid, not fat. I was just kind of a bigger kid. And I was playing a second year in the same division, like 2 years of Mighty Mites or whatever it is. And I was totally dominating but I was having a lot of trouble making weight. And I was like,
maybe your grandma's right.
I know. Yeah. I was 11 and I was on a diet. Like I was out running laps, like
cutting
I was doing
calories.
What a high school wrestler does to make weight.
Sort of trash bag.
Yeah, it's not safe. And when you think about like those peewee days, the outliers, like the kids who were like the Barry Sanders, you know, in fifth grade, they never went anywhere. Mm. It's like the kid with the mustache in high school. Mm. Like it's, you don't want that to be your peak. Like you don't want AYL to be like your MVP season. Yeah. It never worked out for those kids.
We're talking about me, actually. Yeah, I pretty much peaked.
Sorry, man.
And Pop Warner.
It's the same thing with girls who were wearing bras in sixth grade. Not one of them, by the way. Not me. Mm. But those, you don't want to peak that early.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Not good
my
for
Grand
them.
Slam of Little League. That was the highlight of my athletic career.
Yeah. Downhill slide.
Eighth grade, 12 years old.
Then Grand Slam, though.
In the championship
game. Oh, he's made us watch it.
Let's watch it.
Oh, I'd watch it right now.
Yeah.
I was 12 years old, had a Grand Slam of the championship game, walked to first base.
Did you flip the bat?
There was no bat flip. But okay. It was 1980.
Baseball needs that.
Yeah.
So you played at six, which is as early. I started. Oh, here's Brian.
Oh, shit.
I started at seven. I thought that's as early as
you guys are rolling your eyes. You guys have seen it 50 times.
No,
everybody shut up. We got to watch Brian again. Yeah.
I just like the idea that somebody filmed this.
This is in the 80s, Brian?
91.
And how old are you?
12. This is eighth grade, 12 years old. Little League ends at 12.
You were a giant 12-year-old, dude.
I was tall. Yeah. I was thick.
People
thick
cheering ball. For
is
him.
Yeah, your mom's
is that
cheering.
Ryan Sandberg? You look enormous, dude.
The championship game. What slot were you batting in?
We were a stacked team. I batted fifth.
Oh.
No, I batted six.
You must have been a stud.
Yeah, it's a good team. I go.
Oh.
Do you have the trophy and shit in your room? Like it
I'm
now
sure
as a grown
in my
man?
It's out
somewhere.
Being polished.
Yeah, I'm sure it's in my garage.
He's like, it's somewhere. It's in the front.
You gonna watch the whole game?
Yeah.
Can I get the Grand Slam, fellas?
There we go.
Oh, it took a big cut.
Took a rip.
Woo. Thanks for the breeze. That's what we'd yell from the dugout.
That's really mean.
And where's this at?
This is San Carlos, California. Bay Area.
Home of the Partridge family. Why? Would you take them in a full count?
I might have been a full count.
There's a lot of head on this clip.
I think I fell one off, too.
I thought this was going to be a quick clip. I'm sorry, guys.
What have you done, Brendan?
I'm so sorry.
Oh, listen to the crack of that bat. Fucking strolling.
Walking.
Strut.
And then he started running.
Strutting to first base.
Everybody's celebrating him, lifting him on high.
And I like the diversity, just all white.
Yeah. Different shades of alabaster.
Yeah. I don't see any Puerto Ricans out there, buddy.
Did your dad encourage you to play tackle and get you out and play football?
Yeah. Yeah. He loved it.
Now, obviously, there's the concussion part.
Not back then.
Right. I mean, nobody cared.
Back then, it was like, it'd be tough.
Got your bell rung. Walk it off.
Yeah.
But you do. You get a lot of discipline out of playing football.
Hell yeah.
It is a really miserable sport to practice. It's fun as shit to play in the games, but the practices are
the worst.
Two-a-days?
Two-a-day training camp, 2 days, sometimes 3 days, especially in college, there's 3 days. Yeah. And then also, they can't do 3 days anymore. Then also in Denver, Colorado, when there's snow, and you got to practice in snow, is miserable. Absolutely miserable.
Yeah, I always just had heat and smog alerts to deal with because I'm from the San Fernando Valley.
I'll take that all day, man.
The snow was awful. You would like to toggle back and forth from oppressive heat to freezing conditions.
Fair point. Like a New Yorker. You go to Miami, you know, and then come back.
Yes.
Snowbirds.
Part of football, there was two parts of football. One part was to practice football, and the other part was to break you. They just wanted to break you.
Navy SEALs?
Basically. Less I intense. Mean, not to that degree, but
that's why it got close.
Yeah. University of Colorado is, you know, I might be a little weird with this. Like I said, I like dark stuff. I used to love when they'd call it Dirty Dozens is winter conditioning. And, you know, you have a full class schedule, but you'd have to show up at 5 a.m. And from 5 a.m. to 7, they would do these drills called Dirty Dozens. Well, they can only hit, I think in Division I, can only have 112 players on the team. There's like 300 guys trying out for the team. So the only point of that Dirty Dozen at 5 a.m. was to get rid of the weak links. Wow. And I used to love when guys would quit. It used to drive me. I used to love when guys just couldn't take it and I would keep going. It used to give me energy. I love to see them like narrow it down.
Yeah, and I think there's an application for that kind of dedication and motivation that just has this universal application where you can take it to the long days on the road and the work and all that kind of stuff. And I don't think, especially now, we're not focusing enough on that, that this thing that people worry about because they don't want the kids to get hurt or concussed or they're so worried about it. How about your kid's a huge pussy when he's 23?
Yeah, the life lessons. I'm with you.
Yes, like there's so much like grit and just fortitude and like sort of teamwork and all that. But it has a universal application once you stop playing, and it just can be applied to comedy. It can be applied to the MMA. You can do it in any universe, in any application.
But also the locker room, like, you know, switching teams in college, you'd always have new freshmen. So you're in this locker room, you got to figure out the dynamic. So you're constantly, you know, just your social skills go through the roof because you got to be a team. So we'd always have new guys in. Maybe this guy's from the hood in Fifth Ward, Houston, Texas, but he's my roommate. Mm-hmm. So we got to figure that dynamic out. So I think that really helped. It's fun.
Yeah.
I have 3 years till CT kicks in, but it's fun. It's cool.
Will you let me right now? Will you let your kids play?
Absolutely, yeah. I will let them – yes, I caveat with this. I will let them play to a certain level where if they don't have the skill – I hate the parents who are like, isn't he good? It's like, no, he's terrible, dude. Go put him in something else. But if he's not like excelling at it, like the juice isn't worth the squeeze, buddy. Mm. Like you're not going to Stanford playing football. Like let's find something else to do. How about we play tennis or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, there should be, like I always thought about, there should be a service you can hire if someone at your office has really bad breath or BO who just sort of, you know, the Turk will just come walking through there and go, I need your playbook. Like, we got to come see in the conference room. Like, we got to just do it. The kid who sucks, dad's not going to do it. But there should be a guy who just watches the peewee football game and this walks up to individuals, puts their hand on the shoulder, and goes, look.
Well, it's like I'm going straight from here to my son's jiu-jitsu. He's six. He excels in jiu-jitsu. And his buddy who's in there, he just doesn't have it. So they'll put my son with the nine-year-olds and up. And they always put him just like on his own or with the coach. I'm going to look at the dad and be like, is it really worth the drive down here? Like he's not even paying attention to. Yeah. Every week we go through this, man. Every week. Like you're wasting his time and yours, man.
Yeah. And then you kind of go, well, maybe the guy who's not so good at it gets something out of it because 100%. He's not so good at it. But at a certain point, it's time to declare a major and this isn't it. And that was my problem. I should have stopped playing football in Pop Warner.
Why do you say that? Didn't you get a scholarship?
Yeah, but I wasn't good enough to go and
to use it.
Take up the scholarship, I don't think. Did you get a scholarship to Colorado?
Yeah, I started off as a walk-on, then earned a scholarship about a year into the program. So I was put on scholarship, and then I had a quick Uber ride with the Buffalo Bills. I was in training camp with the Buffalo Bills, and there's levels to everything, you know. As a kid, like you're looking at the NFL and you're growing up and all your heroes are in the NFL and you think you're just going to get there and it's going to be this huge glamorous thing and you realize it's such a business and I'm a sensitive dude and it broke my heart. When I got there and saw how cutthroat it was, I was like, oh man, I'm not like these guys, man. I'm never going to make it. And I was like, oh, I could bounce around, maybe practice squad with the Dolphins. I got an offer. I'm like, and do what, man? Keep bouncing around
to what?
What's
the end game?
Yeah, I'm like, I got to move on.
Yeah, but move on to what at that point?
Selling supplements door to door.
That's what I'm saying.
With depression. Yeah. Selling supplements door to door, but then, you know, just trying to figure things out, man. You know, I was just, you know, on my own figuring it out.
When did comedy start to trickle in?
Comedy came in probably, I was 4 years in the UFC, and I started a comedy podcast, The Fire and Kid with Brian Callen, when I came out here. Then we started doing that, and when Cal and I first met, I was a coach on The Ultimate Fighter. They brought him in to make the kids laugh. And we were talking. I go, yeah, stand-up's always been like my heart, man, my passion to be on Saturday Night Live. He's like, dude, come to my show tonight. So I go to his show, and then I just had recently moved to L.A. He's the only number I had. We met. And he goes, come on my podcast, The Brian Callen Show, which had 7 listeners. And then I go on there, and we have this cool chemistry. And then he was like, man, you can do this. I'm like, you think? He's like, yeah, dude. So we just kept doing it before everyone and their mom had a podcast. And then we started doing live shows with that. And it just kind of took off. And we did one live show at the Comedy Store. This is 8 years ago. We did a live show at the Comedy Store in the main room. And 2 weeks later, we'd start every live Firing the Kid with me telling a story. And that's how Callan, like, loosely brought me into stand-up. He didn't want to put too much pressure on me. He goes, you're just telling a story. And then we're at, like, Chicago Vic Theater. I'm like, dude, my story. I'm trying to – he goes, story? Oh, Bubba, you're doing stand-up. And I was like, oh, shit. And the light bulb was like, ding. I was
you didn't
like,
realize
oh, my
it.
God.
Mr. Miyagi
yeah,
over
like,
there.
Yeah, you're right. And then we went to the Comedy Store, had a good – story stand-up set there. And then 2 weeks later, Emily from the Comedy Store, I'll never forget that she calls me. I'm driving my Prius at the time. And she goes, hey, we have an opening, 5 minute set in the belly room. Do you want to do it? And I go, I'm down. Let me call Brian though. See if he's available. She goes, no moron. Just you. It's a stand-up show. I was like, oh yeah, yeah, I'll be there. So then it was like off to the races, man. Fell in love.
Brian Callen, I know pretty well, and he's always been that way with me, too. He has this a little sort of sincerity mixed with an urgency, mixed with a passion, mixed with very supportive. Mm. I told you.
And very intellectual.
The greatest compliment I've ever had in my entire life is when he's like, nobody's faster than you. And I went, I'm sure there are plenty of people. And he goes, who? And I go, I don't know. And he goes, then you can be the one. And I was like, there's plenty of funny, fast people
compliments
out there.
Compliments are tough. Compliments are tough.
I try to ward him off like four times because of where I come from.
It.
And at a certain
like
point,
yeah.
At a certain point, he was just like, why not it? Why not be you?
Why not
like,
you? Yeah,
why not you?
Thing.
And I was like, okay.
He said, it today. I talked on this morning. I think he's in D.C. Tonight, Friday, Saturday, doing shows at D.C. Loft. I talked this morning. He's like, what do you got going on? I was like, you know, this. And then I was like, oh, I'm doing Corolla. He's like, wittiest guy you know, man. Be ready to go. I'm like, ready to go? What do you mean ready to go? What is that?
He
ready
probably treated comedy more intensely than you treated fighting.
Correct.
He's his intensity about walking out on stage that was probably more intense than you walking into the cage.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. I was 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
It's such a to me, what you did, the UFC is the least natural thing to do in the world, but for less than 1% of dudes, it's the most natural thing to do in the world, which is scary.
But that doesn't seem like Brendan.
Those are the guys you're facing. Oh,
yeah,
right?
You're like a cool, normal dude.
Not violent in any facet, yeah. Not aggressive. It's this theme in my life where it's like growing up, I grew up in predominantly black neighborhood. So it was like to be cool wasn't to be the funny kid, which I was always the class clown. It was like being good at athletics. That's how you got girls and got friends. So I was like, all right, I'm going to wear cleats to school. So right. I wore cleats to school and everyone made fun of me. Like, wait till recess comes, dude. We'll see what's up. So that was like this double-edged sword where I was really good at sports, but I wanted to be a comedian, like be on Saturday Night Live. And then with the UFC, you know, I'd watch the heavyweights. I'm like, God, with a little training, man. I was selling supplements door to door, mind you, miserable. And I was like, man, with a little training, I could beat these guys. I know that. So a little bit of training. Then 2 years later, I'm ranked in the top 10 in the world. And I remember sitting in my hotel at the MGM Grand. I was about to fight at the MGM Grand that night on the main card. I'm thinking, what the hell am I doing, dude? How did we get here? I have a double major. Like, use it, man. I just remember being so mad at myself. And you're never going to be heavyweight champ if you're not all the way in. Because the guys I was facing, they're all in. They have no other options, man.
Right.
They live, breathe, eat that. That's their thing. And for me, I just remember, like, my coaches used to tell me in training, like, you got to get meaner, man. You're too nice to these guys. You got to get meaner. I'm like, I can't. I don't know what to tell you, man. It's just not my thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, let's see how it goes on Saturday night. And, you know, I won a lot more than I lost, but it was never the end game for me. I never, you know, visualized myself and identified as just a fighter. It was always like, all right, this is just a shuttle to get somewhere else, man. So as soon as that Fighting the Kid podcast started gaining legs, I was out. Couldn't get out fast enough.
Yeah, I always would put it this way, because I used to teach boxing a little bit. I always would say, you know, 9 out of 10 people, you punch them and they go, fuck, that hurt. I don't want to get hit again. But the one guy you hit, he goes, I'm going to fucking kick your ass for hitting me that way.
I've never felt so alive.
Yeah. There's like a small group of people that kind of work with it. And they kind of go, oh, I feel. It's like, I don't know, chicks that want you to strangle them when you're fucking them. It's not everyone.
Yes.
But the 1%, they're into it.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, they like it. Yeah.
You just can't carry it over into every relationship because then you go to jail.
Yeah,
that's how this works.
You can't treat every place like the Octagon. But especially the bedroom. No, what I'm saying is that there is a small percentage of guys who, when you hit them, don't go, fuck, that guy hits hard. They go, I'm going to fuck that guy up for hitting me. And those are the guys who seem to do pretty well.
My thing was, my coaches knew I was terrified to fight, so they knew how to talk to me and go, it's just an athletic competition. Go in there and just outpoint them. It's
right.
Like, yeah, you're right. And then I'm jogging around the mat and I step on warm blood from the previous fight.
Like, right.
What? This is not an athletic competition.
Well, I've
this is gladiator.
We talk about it sometimes, and I'm always very curious about, like, dudes with, like, a bloodlust. But, like, how are you when you get out? And are you cool with the people you just fought? But you don't have that mentality anyway. So what was your relationship with those dudes outside the ring or the Octagon?
I would – and I've never been to war. I've never been in the military. I come from a military family. So maybe this is the similarities is – going through that, like fighting another grown man in the Octagon and the training it takes and the sacrifice and the discipline, you go on this like journey together, even though you're fighting each other, you want to rip his head off. When you get in the back, there's like this relief, like this bond. It's like, man, it's done, dude. And I always would go in the back and make sure, win, lose, or draw, I always make sure they're okay. I talk to them. I remember the biggest win I ever had against Mirko Krokop, who's a former world champion, like the scariest guy I ever fought. He shattered my nose. I ended up knocking him out in the end of the third round. I got the knockout of the night. Biggest fight of my life in New Jersey at the Prudential Center out there, whatever it's called. And I remember going to the back, and my face is, you know, my nose is broke. He's all tore up, and he's from Croatia. They call him Krokop for Croatian cop, and now he works for the special forces in Croatia. The toughest guy you've ever seen. And I knocked him out in the back, and he has a fanny pack on. I'm staring at him like, I just go, hey, bro. And his English isn't great, but I just go, hey, bro, what are we doing? What the hell are we doing? And he goes, this is life. And I went, is it though? Is it? And then the commission messed up, and he deserves it. So this is no shade on Mirko Krokop. The commission messed up because at the end of the fight, while you're like getting stitched up, they have you sign your check and they give you your check. And they messed up and gave me his check. And I look at his check and it's like a million something, you know, former world champion. He deserves it. And I'm like, oh shit, this is cool. I'm like, oh no, we're sorry. This is for Mirko.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh, and they give me my check, which was 16 grand. And I was like, holy shit, what are we doing, man? That was like the first real like critical moment for me. I was like, you got to get out, man. Like, look at your face, dude. What are you doing?
There's more than $16,000 worth of damage probably with that broken nose.
Man, heartbreaking.
But you knew you had options, even if they weren't clear. You knew there was this kind of thing in the back of your head that went, I can make people laugh. You were class clown.
Yes, sir.
Were you class clown? I was class clown.
Me too.
And you went in high school, junior high? I wasn't in junior high. I don't even remember if they had it in junior high. Were you high school class clown?
Yeah, high school class clown. Then it really excelled when in that University of Colorado in the locker room. Because realized that I could do something with this because, again, there's guys from Fifth Ward, Houston, the ghetto. There's this kid from Louisiana who didn't know how to spell chair but got his degree behind me. There's like the really smart kid from Loveland, Colorado. And I could make all of them laugh. And I was like, oh, if all of you think this is funny, I could do this, man.
Did you have anything good? Like, in our locker room, we had the cage in high school. The cage was in the back. And the cage is where the varsity guys had their lockers. So the locker room was just kind of the high school locker room for gym class and stuff like that. And then they had the cage. The cage was made up of that thick chain link, smaller, thick stuff, the kind they'd put in front of the windows.
Yeah.
Not really barred windows, but you couldn't get through the window. And it went up to the ceiling, and it had a door, and the door had the handle busted off. And so everyone knew you got to leave the cage door open, because if you close the cage door, you can't get it back open because there's no knob. And then someone would have to get the needle nose pliers from like Mr. Hensley's office.
It's like the UFC.
Something.
It's a UFC cage, basically.
Once the cage door shuts, that's
it's
it.
Shut.
Now, this wasn't quite as well, I would, maybe even more compelling than the UFC, because once we threw someone in the cage, then the cage had about a, it had about 18-foot ceiling, but the lockers were only about 6-7 feet high, and they were spread out. So it was like you could there were like six locker rows, and there was a bench in between them.
Your memory is fantastic.
You could get up on top of the lockers, and if you're good, you could jump across from one top to the next top. You could cover the entire cage. So we would throw guys in there, and then we would get on top of the lockers, and then we would pee on them, and there was no place they could go because they were trapped in the cage.
The ultimate golden shower.
Yes, there's no way you could get anywhere out of anyone's range from inside the cage.
Or Kelly's listening from prison going,
he's going, I got locked up for that
this
shit.
Is great.
You guys are fucking monsters.
Yeah.
Is that the, but that, to this point, good. Like that, and that's mild. Like,
that was fairly
that
mild.
That is pretty mild. Like, I don't get too graphic. For me, the running bit was my, the guy who was next to me. Again, I don't want to offend anyone. I don't know
how
this. Had the biggest dick you've ever seen in your life. It was so big. After the game, his joke was he could grab it and talk into it like a mic.
Whoa.
And be like, this is Lawrence from, you know, Fifth Ward,
the
Houston.
Fifth Ward
How
guy,
are you doing?
Not the guy from Golden.
No, not the white boy from Loveland, Colorado.
Right,
this was the ghetto dude from Fifth Ward. He could grab and talk into it like a mic. So I would grab his cup and pretend, you know, that my nose is his dick and I talk as his dick. And it was just my running bit after every game we won, man. Just like what it's like to be his giant dick.
I don't know how you're hanging. But I would arrange my locker room seating chart to put the guys from the Fifth Ward with the huge hogs kind of around the same vicinity so as not to embarrass, you know, the place kicker or whoever the
Jumanji
guy was.
Dick's over here, the white guy's over here. Yeah.
There could be some white guys with a big hog. I'm just saying, let's just check you out.
Yeah.
And for your own mental safety, we're just going to kind of put you in the right group.
Because we need to get you out there, and I need you to feel like a winner.
Yes.
And you're not going to feel like that in between these two dudes.
Yeah, and then I remember the guy who was always uncircumcised, he'd always wear a towel. When they're uncircumcised, they always wear a towel. I'm like, dude, it's like the fat kid in the pool with a shirt on. Just
It's
a red flag, man. We know what's underneath there, dude.
The guy used his own dick like a microphone.
Huh? Fantastic, yeah. Funniest thing I've ever seen. Best bit I've ever
seen.
Hey, good
looking. I'll be back to pick you up later.
Mr. Microphone.
He'd be like, how you feel after the game, Brendan? I'd be like, talking to his dick. Yeah. Now you think it was very gay, but fun.
Yeah, but see, so is all the gladiator shit. But at a certain point... like chaps, you know what I mean? It could either be exquisitely gay or exquisitely masculine, you know what I mean? And I argue that you talking to this brother's cock like it's a Mr. Microphone makes you the straightest guy in this room and possibly that locker room. And I'm sticking with it.
Me too. Tell my dad that.
All right. So speaking of junk, Tommy John. That's right. Summer heat. Melting your ice cubes down there. Stay frosty where it counts in a brand new pair of Tommy John underwear. You'll be that much cooler, and when you're that much cooler, you do everything that much better. Breathable, lightweight fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. Tommy John keeps you cool all season long, from lounging at home to summertime fun. You actually are 7 degrees cooler than you would be in cotton with the Tommy John Apollo underwear. Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Over 17 million pairs sold. I'm wearing mine right now. You literally, once you get on to Tommy John, you do not go back to what you're currently wearing. It's the best pair you'll ever wear. Or it's free. Guarantee, right, Dawson?
Shop TommyJohn.com/Adam right now for 20% off your first order. Get 20% off right now at TommyJohn.com/Adam. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back with the news and Brendan Schaub right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Meet news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
some sad news about the Judd family. We know what happened now to Naomi Judd, who died just days ago. Ashley Judd went on Good Morning America Thursday morning and said her family agreed that they could share what happened. And pretty much all she said was Naomi used a firearm.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. She and her sister, Winona, announced on April 30th that they'd lost their mother, quote, to the disease of mental illness. She was 76. And Ashley said she and her family wanted to shed light on mental illness, explaining that it's important to make the distinction between loved ones and their disease.
That's the day before the induction into the Country Hall of Fame.
It was.
It's a tough press tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Ashley said that, she said that the family reluctantly shared the cause of death because it was going to come out anyway. They might as well be the ones. She also revealed that she was the one who discovered her mother.
Ugh.
And her mother had been outspoken about her battle with depression. And like you said, Naomi died the day before she and Winona were inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. She just couldn't do it. Couldn't hang on.
So you got to think that's not a coincidence that it was the day before.
No.
These accolades brought it on.
Spotlight.
But the attention?
Yeah.
But she loves attention, right?
It seems so weird. First off, just killing yourself. I haven't looked at the chart, but, you know, if you don't kill yourself by the time you're 25, it normally just is a steep decline. Like, people don't kill themselves in their 70s. You're distraught over a relationship when you're 19. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys kill themselves. Women, not as much. They don't use guns that much. They don't do it in their 70s. No. They rarely ever do it before an induction into the Country Hall of Fame.
Almost never.
She is literally aggressive. The only person that's ever been in this category. She's an outlier. So then you go, all right, it was being not the induction into the Country Music Hall of Fame. It had to be that. But then, and I get depression, but a lot of people who are depressed are not depressed when they're winning in Vegas or something.
Yeah.
Or
it's a weird time to do it.
An award. It's like the athlete who's used to having the fans cheer him on, but he kills himself after he retires when it's quiet and he's alone in his apartment.
He's not
going
to do it before a Hall of Fame induction.
Right.
Yeah, it'd be a weird time to do it.
That's a weird time to do it. So we brought up Junior Seau.
Didn't he shoot himself in the chest right before?
He did. He shot himself in the chest so they could study his brain because he knew his CT. He didn't at the time. They didn't know exactly what it was, but he shot himself in the chest and goes on the note was like, "Study my brain, man, because I'm not wired the same. It's not good."
But my recollection is it was shortly before his Hall of Fame induction, and his kids lobbied to speak, and the canon was wishy washy on it.
The Kent, you said
the kids lobbied to speak on his behalf.
Oh, Kent.
Well, that would be interesting to figure out how long. I know he killed himself like along a road in San Diego or something.
No, he tried it before in San Diego, but to me that was an attempt for help, saying I'm not doing well because he drove like his whatever Escalade off the side of PCH, but it's like. Mm. It's like 4 feet, dude. Like,
right.
What are you doing? Mm-hmm. And then he did the real McCoy, you know, like 4 weeks later. So that first one, I think, was a cry for help.
Yeah, I don't know how long before, and I don't know. I mean, he's a first ballot guy for sure.
Oh, 100%.
So it's 5 years after you retire, I think, in the NFL. So I don't know if he killed himself.
We can check the timeline.
4.5 years after, you know, whatever. But
it was definitely after. He got inducted, for sure.
Oh, he got inducted.
I'm pretty sure,
All right. Well, now we'll look. So,
my recollection is that his kids wanted to speak on his behalf, and Pro Football Hall of Fame was being very touchy about it.
Like, really?
Because they were afraid they were going to talk shit about the NFL.
NFL doesn't want to touch concussions, and UFC especially doesn't want to touch concussions. Like, no one wants to talk about it, you know?
So this is brought on through a general depression, which then peaked with the Hall of Fame induction.
That's the timeline.
It just seems such an insane way to do it.
Poor lady if she was suffering that bad.
Oh, yeah. And I have no clue. Totally speculation. I'm wondering if, you know, they keep talking about mental illness, if that was an umbrella for depression and
bipolar.
Exactly. Or schizophrenia or something. But we don't know.
The depression thing stopped because especially when I was a kid growing up, no one really talked about it.
No.
And then now there's like in the NBA, they want to have, you know, brain health days. Like Kyrie Irving will miss weeks because he doesn't feel like playing basketball. So it's a little dicey. You know, it's dicey.
Got to swing it back the other way a little bit.
Yeah.
Junior died in 2012. Posthumous Hall of Fame 2015. But
so it was significantly before.
What? When was he? When did he retire? When was he eligible?
Obviously, 2010.
Well, I guess.
Or 2008.
It's 5 years.
So oh, and you're saying he got it in 2000?
I'm saying he would have gone on the first ballot.
So he would have retired in 2010.
There you go.
But we can look it up. Yeah, the real tragedy. What's that?
2010, yeah.
The real tragedy was when he went to the Patriots and they went 18-0. And
he was chasing his first
ring.
They
were just going to win the Super Bowl.
Dude, he was my favorite player. And then after he passed, I was in the UFC and I'm taking a piss in the urine on the locker room after a fight that I had won. And his son, who I don't know, was next to me. And we start talking. And he's like, oh, yeah, my dad was a Junior Seau. I'm like, what? I was like, dude, that was my favorite player. And he's like, my dad was a fan, man. I started crying.
Wow.
I started crying, yeah. Yep.
Well, I heard this story a while ago. I can't remember what he did it on, but Moby was on some podcast talking about when he thought about killing himself. And it was – I might be getting some of the details wrong, but he's in the best penthouse – maybe in Paris for like the European MTV Awards. And like he was on top of his game, highly celebrated, like, you know, whatever, penthouse, and just thinking like, this is what I've been waiting for. Like, is this it? Is this all there is? And he thought about jumping out the window. And I don't know if there's any correlation there of like, this is as far as I go. This doesn't make me happy like I thought it would.
Yeah, like this is the top of the mountain.
Right.
This is what I've been working for.
And I feel
this
so fucking empty. Yeah,
yeah, well, nothing else to do.
Look, the one good thing about being poor, listen up, losers.
Let me grab
the
a pen.
The one good thing about it is you do think things are going to change significantly if you ever had enough money to get a new car with air conditioning and have your own condo and imagine being able to eat out more than once a month, you know, like weird stuff like
Vacations,
that. You hang a lot of it on that. And at a certain point, you do get the car, you do get the house, you do go out to dinner, and you realize you essentially feel the same. And there's a thing that if you can just keep looking off into the horizon, go, if only I had that, then I would feel much happier, much better, much differently about myself. There's a part of that where there is some comfort for those who never really achieve that because it's always the next one and it's always out there. You get money, you get stuff, you get cars, you get whatever, and you just kind of realize, bleh.
The wiring's the same.
You're still stuck with you.
Do you suffer from any of that, Adam?
No, I don't. I just feel the same as I always did. What you do is really you go from worrying about money to not really worrying about money. Although you think about money more, you just don't worry about it. And you basically go from, you know, I've said, I'd get a parking ticket for $34, week ruin, devastation.
Yes.
Yeah,
and also a lot of granular shit, too. Like, we went out to dinner. Yeah. That guy gets three Heinekens. I get a fucking iced tea.
Yeah.
And we whack it up. We each pay $22, but he had fucking three Heinekens?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys remember going to the restaurant, any restaurant, like, boy, I really want the fill in the blank,
yes.
You know, the ham, but it's $2 more than the chicken.
Yeah.
So I guess I got the chicken.
Well, and Adam said before, nothing is more expensive than being poor. You know, because when you get a ticket and like, oh, shit, now I have to take off of work to go fight this ticket.
I only got parking tickets when I was poor because lived in some shitty apartment building. You didn't have parking. You'd come home, fucking street cleaning, which magically was 6 a.m. to 8 a.m.
So
everywhere. I feel the same way about garbage collection. It can't be 6 a.m. everywhere the time. Somewhere it's got to be 4 in the afternoon. Isn't there a place where the street is cleaned at noon somewhere and then you fucking forgot about it? The most devastating poor street cleaner person story is I told you about my A&B carpet cleaning boss, Art Fuss. Mm. Art Fuss lived in a condo in like Van Nuys, and we would have to go out and clean carpets all night because you can't clean a restaurant when it's open. So you'd have to go clean, whether it was a Sizzler, Colony Kitchen, yeah. Hamburger Hamlet in Westwood, like wherever. You would show up at 11, and the manager would give you the keys because he didn't want to come back and meet you at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. when you were done. And he would tell you, lock it up. Throw the keys through the mail slot.
You for sure cleaned the Hamburger Hamlet after Christy ate there one night. They ate there all the time.
Oh, really?
You know, shoot, you graduate high school in 97, so do the math.
So, yes, we cleaned all the greasy spoons and shitholes and everything. But so now you would be driving home from the Hamburger Hamlet in Westwood or wherever we were.
Westwood.
And we'd be heading back. There was another one that was around was on the west side. We didn't do that one. We did the far away.
Anyway, there was one in Beverly Hills, like the Flatlands.
There was one there, too. Yeah. Anyway, we're driving back. We're done cleaning. You clean from 10:30, 11 at night, whenever the closing time is, to however long mm-hmm. it takes you, which is 3:30, 4 in the morning on a Tuesday or whatever. You get back in the van. You drive it back over the hill. Now, we would get $6 or $7 an hour, but only while we were cleaning.
Right.
So it wasn't for like the whole night. So when we got to the Hamburger Hamlet, to when we left the Hamburger Hamlet, which is probably illegal. So we would get $7 an hour times 3.5 hours.
Jesus
three and a half hours and like $24 or something. We'd come back to Van Nuys before 4:15 in the morning. There's no place to park. But it was always like, oh, the other side of the street is wide open.
No stopping 3 to 5.
Right. We'd go park. And then get in our motorcycle or beat up car or whatever and drive back or, go to bed at 5 a.m. Then, on Friday when Art was cutting checks, he'd be like, well, I had 22 hours this week. And he's like, you got the parking ticket over the Hamburger Hamlet night. Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah, you parked on the street cleaner side, so there's a no parking side. So I just backed out the $32.
He's got to eat that.
Whatever.
That's, on you,
that's
like,
insane.
No. So whatever you made that night, you ended up owing $7.
You're an indentured servant.
Yes.
You got to work off that ticket.
So when you're poor, you don't have places to park.
Right.
That's the bottom line, yeah.
Just parking you don't have. Now I have a driveway and a garage, and I'll never get a ticket. I'll never get towed. I've gotten everything towed. When I got my friend's motorcycle towed from Century City, it's because I was poor. Mm-hmm. What they said is you can park underneath the parking structure in Century City, but it's $18 a day. I was like, fuck that. I got a motorcycle. I'll just park it over here in the corner. Got towed. Yeah.
I remember being, when I was broke, I remember I couldn't wait to take this girl out. And I kept asking her, and finally she's like, all right, let's do it. And we go to this Cheesecake Factory at Park Meadows Mall, which is nice. In Denver. Yeah, I remember we go there, and I'm going to say I had $40. I remember my dad gave me like $40.
It ain't free.
I was
over
in college,
there.
Man. Yeah. You didn't have money. Yeah, it's not free. I remember I had like around $40, and the lady comes, you want to know the specials? In my head, I'm like, specials? It's fucking Cheesecake Factory specials. She said steak and lobster. I remember the girl going, ooh, that sounds good. I'll have that. I'm like, unreal, man.
I'm
freaking real.
No, I don't like that.
I had like a cup
she
of
knows
soup.
Yeah.
I'm like, who does that?
That's not cool.
Who
I don't like
Cheesecake Factory.
That?
You got to order dessert too.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
You have to get
Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, she had a great time. I was starving.
You don't order MP with a college student. You don't go market price.
And she was older.
Yeah.
But also Cheesecake specials? Who are you? That's why I came here.
First off, their menu has 177 items on it. Yeah. Do we need three more?
Find something.
Yeah, you find something. And then, that was the other poor person thing, which is when you could go out, it was like appetizers or we could get a glass of wine.
That's right.
When you don't get a drink.
No,
you don't get a cocktail. And an appetizer. That's way too fucking much.
Mr. Yeah. Monopoly?
So when you make money, you stop fucking fretting over that. But your general baseline happiness, satisfaction, what have you, remains the same. Although you do get a bump from accomplishing shit that made you the money. So you get to go, I wrote a book or I made a movie or right. I did a stand-up special or whatever. And you go, that feels good.
Yeah.
I'll keep that.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's talk about this because it's a soccer story, but I think it's the one soccer story on the planet you might actually be tickled by. this French soccer club, Lyon, I'm assuming it's Lyon, L-Y-O-N, has demoted their veteran fullback, Marcelo, to its reserve team earlier this season. And the decision had a lot of people wondering, like, what the fuck? Like, this is our guy. Well, according to multiple reports, now we know why he was demoted. The 34-year-old Brazilian was dropped from the big leagues because of repeated instances of farting in the locker room.
Now, that's funny.
Yeah. Per ESPN, Marcelo was laughing during a speech when the captain made it. He was trying to, you know, rouse everybody up before they started. And then he was accused of continuous farting in front of the team's manager and sports director.
This guy's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh. He was considered one of the leaders of the team. He'd signed a new contract a few months before. How did they get out of that? There was like an inappropriate behavior clause that they used.
That's insane.
You know that, yeah. Jimmy, when he did... I got to ask Jimmy about this. But when he did Win Ben Stein's Money... He had a guy who was one of the camera guys who was like a clinical farter.
Oh, like this, medically?
This wasn't a, you know, pull my finger. Right. This is all fun and games. Like he farted medically.
Oh, boy.
And
single.
And it was like at a certain point, it's a condition.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's no hobby.
You got a problem.
It's a serious thing.
You're no longer dabbling.
It's a difference. Yeah.
You're
between
pro.
Like
a,
you got a tummy ache or you got Crohn's.
Right. Right.
You know
right.
What I mean? This guy had.
He might have had a parking placard.
Yeah. Special parking. Yeah. Go to Costco to power himself on that cart. He'd stand on the cart, fart, and blow himself in right by the greeter.
That poor guy. What do you do?
He was powered like the Jetsons mobile. Yeah.
What do you heard about that?
You know
Brazilian
what he did?
What?
He had a fucking sign right into the Costco. Just put the feet on the roller
the
on the cart.
What, you
he
hear about
had
that?
A sign like in soccer when you get a yellow card or whatever.
Let everybody know.
And he worked the camera and he was like, okay, farted.
There we go.
You know, like, hold this thing up.
It'll be cool.
People knew.
What'd the sign say? Or just, was
I don't
just
think
like
it
a,
had to say anything.
Just
a, yeah,
like
just
a silent auction fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like what's hanging in the window of the Moyles office? You know what I mean? Nothing. We know who
we
is.
Got it.
He's a Moyle, yeah. Right?
Wow.
Once people saw, once it was understood that when this guy raised the sign, you backed
on,
out,
yeah.
Then people knew.
There was a girl recently, it was one of the current events on our show, where she was this beautiful like IG model, and she had this new boyfriend. I think he was a professional soccer player, and she held her farts in around him, even though they're on a boat. It's like, figure it out, man.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Use the silencer on the, you know, you'll figure it out.
Honk the horn.
So, yeah. I
mean, turn the Caribbean into a jacuzzi.
Yeah. We're talking, use the bubbles, girl. Get in the hot tub. So she held her farts and then held it for so long she had to go to the emergency room.
Yeah.
Like, it got so bad. It's like, what are you? I mean, come on, man.
Like distended belly and the whole vibe.
And also,
which was more embarrassing.
Sure.
You got the soccer player. She's a model. You want to have sex out on the yacht. But you can't get plowed when you're holding one back.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Mission impossible.
Virtually
mission
impossible.
Yeah,
yeah.
That will knock it. That will knock it loose.
Yes. And we're all of the understanding, hypothetically, that that's forgivable, and we don't speak of that again. Yes.
The fart during coitus.
Well, if you're like packing air,
but we don't really even know what that was.
Oh.
I pretend, I just,
because there's queefs and then there's farts.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Okay.
I
wasn't distinguishing.
No, I blame it on CT.
Right.
Yeah.
CT flared up.
And
I don't know what you're talking about.
That guy from the Fifth Ward who used this hog like a microphone.
He definitely ain't here.
He'll
so far
knock
away.
A fart out of a chick who's in the next room.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dick is so big.
It's the visitor's locker room.
That's right.
You can't hear anything.
All right. Let's bring it home, Gina.
Very
let's bring
good.
It home.
I'm sorry, Gina Grad, and that's raunchy. The news.
You need to figure out a way to get paid for beating off.
Gina Grad. That was the news with
Gina Grad. Well, last but not least, there's Geico. Save a little money on your auto insurance. Who doesn't love a deal? That's where Geico comes in. Such a deal. Truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, homeowners, condos, renters, coverage even as well. They got special discounts when you bundle, and it's easy to use. They got a mobile app. You go to geico.com, you get that mobile app, and you get 24-hour roadside assistance when you switch to Geico. So switch today and see just how much you could be saving when you make the switch to Geico. Brendan is going to be, well, the stand-up special is called The Gringo Poppy, and that is out as we speak on YouTube. Bite size, like what, 25 minutes long? Or so?
26 minutes.
right in there. Helium coming up in Philly, as mentioned.
Next week, next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Helium in Philadelphia.
Then Los Angeles, Hollywood Improv, May 25th. Portland, Helium, good club out there.
Great club.
That's June 9th through the 11th. Huntington Beach, we're going to be out at Sea Lakes doing shows May 20th. And then I'm going to be out in Denver at the Comedy Works. What am I looking at? Yeah, Comedy Works.
One of the best clubs.
Yeah, South. Wendy. Shout out to Wendy. I think it is. And that'll be June 24th and 25th. So, till next time, it's Adam Carolla for Brendan Schaub, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryant. Say it! Mahalo. The bloodless conception is dead on arrival.
You can watch this episode of The Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Like the show, tell a friend, then call 866. I forgot the damn number. Try to do something different. Try to do something different and you'll forget the damn phone number. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They're all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.